This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're going to have a great show. We're going to be talking about what's going on around the world. One of my favorite people is going to be on the show, Fred Burton. He's the Vice President of Intelligence for Stratfor. Stratfor is a geopolitical intelligence, global intelligence firm that does a lot of analysis of what's going on around the world and keeps us abreast of things in Europe, things in Mexico, and things around all the parts of the world that we honestly should be, keeping focused in on. We can't just focus in on D.C. politics or just our own national politics. We also need to look around the geopolitical dynamics because it has an impact on us as well. Fred, welcome to Fed Access again.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I saw a report that you guys were doing that really kind of caught me about spring break in Mexico and travel and security risks. And, you know, I think Mexico has been one of those places, and not just for spring break, but also during the summertime, where a lot of Americans, you know, and other people all around the world, but a lot of Americans will go over to Mexico and have that summer vacation or, you know, that spring break vacation. It's been some change in dynamics. What is the security level over there now, maybe versus maybe 10 years ago?
Well, Derek, every year around this time, our phone rings off the hook, as well as countless emails from our subscribers and our clients concerning whether or not it's safe to travel to Mexico and where they have children that are going there on spring break. And I think that the one aspect here is, you know, many regular visitors to Mexican resorts believe that they are safe from transnational criminal organizations. You and I would call them cartels. But what we talked about on our website is that there's nothing in the behavior of the Mexican cartels that indicate that they would consciously keep tourists out of the line of fire. And what we've seen as we've monitored this, and we've been following cartel violence very closely, being Texas-based here for a good number of years, that the violence is spreading, and it's spreading into the tourist areas. Now, we do not believe that tourists would be specifically targeted, but you're in a wrong place, wrong time kind of variable. You could be caught up in some sort of crossfire or in other compromising position. For example, remember, cartels are also heavily involved into extortion, robbery, rape, and carjackings. So the whole criminal element is there. And, of course, with individuals with money that are traveling from the United States or Canada into Mexican tourist areas, they're potentially very prime targets.
You know, with that being the case, and I think it used to be a time period, like you mentioned, that, and people always thought this, if I went to a resort, then I'm fine, okay? And then even going out, and I think maybe some Americans kind of think, oh, I'm American. I'm not necessarily as much of a target in Mexico as much, you know, or even a target by the police. But, you know, it's not just the cartels, but it's police corruption. There's all kind of stuff that's going on in Mexico that you could be a victim of.
Absolutely. And that's one of the aspects that, again, you and I and most people don't take into account. Here in the continental United States, you dial 911, you're going to get the good guys that show up. In Mexico, that's not always the case. And remember, a lot of these tourist areas are in very key geography positions for the transshipment of drugs, marijuana and cocaine. And so they are strategically placed as entry points in, whether it be from the Pacific routes or on the Atlantic side, where you'll have very key transshipment locations that are very, very lucrative to the various drug trafficking organizations. So The control over that geography, the control over those ports, the ships, the areas, is critical. And we've seen consistent battles for these areas over this past year. And the other aspect to take into account here is that these drug trafficking organizations, Derek, have so much cash, they're starting to laundry a lot of their illicit drug monies into cartel resort areas, meaning the purchase of legitimate properties, the franchises, car sales locations, taxi companies, paving companies, construction companies. So you have to step back and think, what do we really want to support this kind of endeavor?
What's the growing power or influence? I think you kind of just hit on it. What is the growing power and influence of these cartels and local gangs? It seems as if the tide being turning in a negative way for them, it just seems as in Mexico, it just seems that they seem to get more and more power all the time. And what is being done about that?
Well, remember, the Mexican government is facing all kinds of battles. You have Mexican military on cartel violence. You have cartel on cartel violence. You've got local police doing battle with the street gangs. You have two dominant players, which are the Los Zetas, a very violent organization. They're involved with the beheadings and the dismembering of the bodies and some of the more spectacular killings of Americans. For example, David Hartley, who was murdered on Falcon Lake with his wife watching while they were out jet skiing, which is a little lake that borders the state of Texas and Mexico. And then you have the other organization called the Sinaloa Federation. And these two are battling for geography. This is all about geography. And then you have these fractured groups, such as the Gulf Cartel, La Familia, and a new emerging one that we've watched spring up called the Knights Templar, that are also trying to take back certain key transshipment locations. And as you move closer and closer to the border, where you have these very lucrative plazas, the points of entries, your international bridges that come in and out of the United States, those are critical. And again, the farther you get away from the border, the less people understand this. But those plazas, those points of entries in the United States are controlled by very specific cartels on the Mexican side of the border. And of course, the million-dollar question is always, how far does it reach into the United States across the border? The degree of control on both sides of the geography. It's like a swinging gate. In order to move the dope north and the bulk cash south, you've got to control both sides of the border.
You know, with that being the case, what's your recommendations for Americans who are possibly going over, or thinking about Mexico as an option, to go over there for vacation or things like that? How do you keep yourself secure, or do you start ruling out Mexico as a no-go spot? I mean, given that, the nature of this beast is becoming more ugly and more powerful. Do you now start thinking about other areas, whether Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or whoever? What's your recommendations?
Well, unfortunately, what we've seen this past year in Mexico with our spring break summary is we've seen places like Acapulco and Cancun and Cozumel, Puerto Vallarta, that are increasing with drug-related violence and kidnapping threats. And so you have your traditional vacation spots that are problematic. The advice we typically give, you and I could go there, keep our wits about us, stay on the resort property, don't venture off into the mainstream cities at night, because at night, that's when the danger level really increases. There's a tremendous amount of problems with tourists and visitors that get themselves in trouble at night, either off the property, on the economy, either at bars, maybe they've drank a little bit too much, or unfortunately maybe they're trying to buy drugs or whatever. They put themselves in a position where they can fall in harm's way. So our advice is that if you're going to go and you choose to go to these resort properties, make sure you have arranged transportation ahead of time through a trusted vendor Make sure you get into the resort area and you hunker down and don't venture off that resort property until you decide to leave. Don't go out into the city at night. Don't wear any jewelry at all. Try to present yourself in a very low-key manner as you can, and particularly refrain from venturing out into the economy. Also keep in mind that you have to stop at all roadblocks, and some of these roadblocks in Mexico are controlled by literally cartels that look like Mexican military or look like Mexican police. So in essence, you have to be very, very careful. We've had a lot of Americans this past year and some, unfortunately, some horrific stories in Mexico involving Americans that have either tried to flee legitimate or illegitimate checkpoints, and these folks just open up and they shoot to kill.
Hold that thought right there, Fred. I want to kind of keep on going with that because I think it's some important stuff that people need to know as they go over into Mexico. I mean, that's the border, San Diego, Texas, and everything else that people are crossing on a regular basis. We're talking to Fred Burton. He's the Vice President of Intelligence for Stratfor, a geopolitical risk analysis firm out of Austin, Texas. They do a lot of different work that covers all the different regions of the world, but Mexico is definitely one of them. We're talking about travel security. We're talking about going over to Mexico and keeping yourself. We're talking about terrorism later on in the show. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
How is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, putting the power of geospatial intelligence in the hands of its users? How does NGA support disaster rescue, homeland security, and war fighter operations? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Letitia Long, Director, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
Join us next Sunday, April 1st. We won't be fooling around too much, but we will have the wines of Paso Robles in studio. They're coming in for a huge event. And have you been to Midwood Place yet? If you haven't, you're going to hear all about it here.
I got that April 1st joke. That's Foodie and the Beast next Sunday and every Sunday live at 11 right here on 1500 AM.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Scientific advances are linking sleep problems to health and safety risks.
Not setting aside enough time to satisfy the need for sleep or staying awake too long seems to be the most common problem.
Dr. Michael Twery, director of the National Center on Sleep Disorders Research at the NIH, says those who feel sleepiness is a burden to their daily activities have to tell their doctor.
There is no blood test for a sleep problem, and the physician isn't going to, you know, see the problem when you're visiting him or her in the office.
For more on sleep deficiency and disorders, visit www.nhlbi.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every week here at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Sharon Snow, CEO of Metropolitan Capital Strategies. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, and serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OFNP, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Join the Brain Trust of Federal Leaders this April 15th through 18th in Cambridge, Maryland, for the Federal Senior Management Conference and feed off the thoughts, experiences, and ideas of your peers while tackling timely management issues being faced by government today. Presented by Fed Insider News, the Federal Senior Management Conference is the preeminent conference for federal senior managers. Presented for government, by government, and open only to government employees. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are having an interesting conversation about travel security, about Mexico in particular, about if you go over to certain regions, how do you keep you safe? What is the threat out there? And as Americans, I mean, you know, as Americans, you're always a target. How do you keep yourself safe as you go over to Mexico and maybe other countries that have a high risk of threats of kidnapping, robbery, possibly murder, or whatever the case is? We're talking to Fred Burton. He's the vice president of intelligence for Stratfor, a geopolitical intelligence firm, and they are doing a lot of work covering the Mexico issues. Fred, you were talking just before the break about how Americans should keep themselves safe. And then you also mentioned about there's been some horrific stories about Americans who ran into some of these checkpoints who may be run by cartel or police, and they tried to flee. And you know, there's been, you know, shootings, people have been killed. You know, we don't hear about this stuff on, you know, people are watching CNN, they're watching MSNBC. Honestly, you don't hear about any of this stuff in the news.
Well, unfortunately, Derek, there's not a lot of mainstream media coverage of what is taking place inside of Mexico, and it boils down to one simple reason. The bulk of the foreign journalists that are there from the major news media outlets have left the country.
For safety reasons, I'm assuming. For safety reasons, for security reasons.
Yes. Remember, media publicity surrounding these kinds of issues are bad for business, bad for the cartels. It gets people awake in the United States, inside the Beltway. You get congressmen and senators to start raising these questions. The State Department really doesn't like to have a lot of this information out there because it affects their foreign policy and their diplomacy with Mexico, which is, you know, again, from an economic perspective, our largest trading partner, and there's tremendous issues surrounding the immigration aspect. But in essence, as you boil down to these issues, you know, at night, the cartels control the streets. And I don't care if you're on a resort area or you're in a border town. So you, in essence, do not drive at night. That's simple.
Right.
Now, most people don't. Most people do follow that advice, but unfortunately, you get people that do try to venture out at night, and that's where they either wind up carjacked or disappeared out of. And there's no ability to investigate or to follow up on these. There's a recent story on an American that's missing from South Texas here that dropped his father off at an airport in Mexico and tried to get back across the border, found out that his point of entry was blocked, so he was running around at night on a highway, and he's literally disappeared. You know, there's supposition that he hit a cartel checkpoint and was driving an SUV that they want. They love SUVs and pickup trucks for the purposes of moving other dope, and he's just vanished. There's no car. There's no body. This is the kind of horrific story that doesn't have a lot of national news media coverage surrounding it because you have zero capability or zero ability to go down there and even investigate the cases.
And a lot of times, State Department or anybody else, they can't, you know, even if somebody went, the parents go to State Department, somebody, like you said, no one can really investigate this thing thoroughly.
That's correct. And remember, you know, in years past here, in recent time, you've had a U.S. federal agent murdered, an ICE agent that was murdered. You've had Americans disappear. You have people that go across either to buy dope or connected to the dope trade in some manner and put themselves in a position where they're vulnerable. And in essence, that night, once dusk hits, the areas are controlled by the cartels. And then you run up against these checkpoints, which it's hard to say if they're Mexican Marines or if it's a Zeta checkpoint. So it puts yourself into a bad situation. So if you're going to go, you really do need to hunker down and stay at that resort property and don't venture off onto the economy and get in and out. And that's the advice we give our Fortune 500 clients that are thinking about this, or our average subscriber that's just curious about whether or not it's okay for their son or daughter to venture over for spring break. But we have
question on that, Fred. Is that even the case for, you know, I know when I was in the Marine Corps in San Diego, a lot of us would go over to Tijuana. You know, that was a long time ago. But is that even the case now for just very much so border states to America, where, you know, those used to be okay? I mean, has the infiltration by the cartels even taken control over those areas? And you need to be just as careful there.
Yes, I do believe, Derek, that DOD has placed visiting Mexico for active duty or reserve military off limits. Yeah. You just can't venture over anymore.
And that was back in. I'm dating myself when we used to go. That was a long time ago. So yeah, I think the policy has changed. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and we just had one of our analysts in Nuevo Laredo, which borders Laredo, last weekend, and he said it was a ghost town. In essence, there's no cars moving, none of the stores are open. There is no tourism. He said it was just kind of creepy and eerie, and he decided to leave. He was trying to make his way down to Monterrey, which is the technology center and a huge manufacturing hub, but the Mexican Marines had blocked off all the roads with roadblocks. And again, I think it's hard for people to understand and to visualize this. This is a country that borders ours, that is, again, our largest trading partner, but you have these cities that are like ghost towns that border us now because of the violence and the control of the geography by the cartels. And this includes Juarez, which borders El Paso, and Laredo, which borders Nuevo Laredo. And so it's like apples and oranges, and it's not that far from a geography perspective.
Fred, as you guys are looking at this and you monitor this, you know, a lot, do you see... I see this thing worsening rather than getting better. Do you see a solution to this? I mean, we've been having this conversation for a long time. The drug war about the smuggling and it seems that even the cartels, and we'll talk about this in the next segment a little bit more, the cartels are starting to get involved with terrorist organizations a lot more. We've had a lot of situations, Hezbollah and everything else. Do we see any kind of change or progress?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not very optimistic. If you look at sheer body count number, every year over the past five, the level of violence has increased. Things don't appear to be slowing down this year opposed to last year. I'm not very optimistic that there's anybody inside the Beltway interested in dealing with this issue. The states are stuck with the burden of resources of trying to confront the problems. I talk to a lot and visit a lot with the local sheriffs that have responsibility for these vast, large areas to patrol, and they're really at their wit's end. They don't have a lot of tax base. They don't have a lot of resources. Basic things, Derek. So, for example, they find a deceased body or some form of bones on a ranch property, and nobody from the federal government helps them. So the local coroner comes out and collects the bones. Of course, they want their money, so the local police department or sheriff department is stuck with the tab for that. And so you've got very basic kinds of problems there that are very problematic and challenging for the local sheriffs and the local cops around the border.
So that's why when you hear mass graves or just like you said, murders, a lot of this stuff is not even being investigated heavily. It's almost like, unfortunately, that's another one down. We'll do what we can, but it kind of gets marked off.
That's correct. There doesn't appear to be a lot of federal government interest in investigating these kinds of issues. You know, the burden falls upon the locals to try to look into. I know at least here, being Texas-based and having been experienced with being on the Texas Border Security Council and my time with the Texas Department of Public Safety, you look at just the sheer scope of violence and the spillover violence into the United States as you look at Texas, which is almost 1,400 miles of border and two time zones. You look at the daily crime that comes out of that. It's like a situational report like you and I would have read back in the day on global terrorist activities. Sure. You look at that on a daily basis, and it's very depressing. And so I've come to the conclusion from a strategic point of view, Derek, that there is, in essence, the matter is too complex, and I just don't simply see a solution. There's not a political will in the United States to try to deal with this issue, and certainly there is no political will in Mexico based upon the sheer scope of bulk cash that's flowing into the country.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Fred Burton. He is the Vice President of Intelligence. I hate to even take us on a break on that sobering news, Fred, but you know, that's the reality of the game, it seems. We're talking about travel security, and I think people need to understand the situations that's going on in Mexico and possibly other areas about doing a threat assessment before you decide to take a vacation, especially if you're going to Mexico. The situation is not necessarily a good one right now, and you need to heed the advice of Fred and Strat4 and people who know what they're talking about. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
When lives are at stake, you need technology you can count on. FLIR Systems' legacy of life-saving thermal imaging sensors continues through their offering of full-spectrum chemical, biological, radiation, and explosive threat detection systems and beyond-the-fence perimeter security solutions. Visit FLIR.com to learn more. FLIR Systems, because it's not just your job, it's your life.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com. Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Caps fans, don't miss a big upcoming battle at Verizon Center against the Montreal Canadiens on Fan Appreciation Day, Saturday, March 31st at 7 p.m. as the Caps continue their drive for the playoffs powered by Constellation Energy. The Caps look to pick up valuable points to secure an Eastern Conference playoff spot. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up, always a great time, and there are only two home games left in the regular season. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building a America's hockey capital.
Insects use tiny hairs to help them climb smooth walls. The gecko lizard does the same thing with a lot more weight. That has engineers intrigued. Gecko toes have unique hair-like structures that are soft enough to conform to a surface but are attached to tendons stiff enough to support weight, while they easily stick and unstick to a wall.
It's a really novel set of properties from the perspective of engineers.
Al Crosby of the University of Massachusetts has mimicked that with a reusable rubber-coated fabric engineered to have an easily reversible yet very strong adhesiveness.
You can hold up to 700 pounds, and then with a little flip of the wrist, you can take it off with virtually no effort.
Crosby says the new tape can hold a flat-screen TV on your wall for at least as long as a ball game and not leave a mark when you take it down. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about travel security. We've been talking about the situation in Mexico, but honestly, the advice goes for anywhere that you're going around the world that you need to really, really kind of pay attention to your travel security. Do a threat assessment of the area that you're going into. But Mexico is a hot spot, and if you're thinking about going there, spring break, summer vacation, or any other time, you need to definitely look at some of the reports that either Stratfor is giving, State Department is giving, and then make sure that you follow some really strategic advice to keep yourself safe and sound. We're talking to Fred Burton. He's the Vice President of Intelligence for Stratfor. Fred, I want to go into terrorism. I really want to go into what happened into the situation in France. That was a very, very disturbing situation. What's your take on that? Are we seeing the rise of, we talked about the lone wolf. We talked about Norway, the situation Oslo. We've seen, these lone wolf actors going around and doing certain things. Is this going to continue to be a trend?
Well, I think so. I think not only have we seen that as a trend here in the United States with, for example, the shooting at the Little Rock National Guard Center to the Major Hassan shooting at Fort Hood here in Killeen, Texas, until the recent shooting at the Jewish school in France, which was the third of two other attacks perpetrated on French military. And I think that's part of the challenge is from an investigative perspective is trying to identify these people ahead of time. And having the resources to surveil and monitor literally 24/7. If you look at the shooter
Fred,
France.
Let me just interject at this. With the shooter in France, they had this guy on a watch list. I mean, they I guess maybe this is what you're about to get into, but this guy was on a list to be under surveillance.
Correct. And if you look at, and I know people hate to use the term profiling, but if you look at his profile of his past terrorist-related activity, not to mention his travel to Pakistan, his liaison with the Taliban, his interest in explosives and weapons. He fits the profile of the kind of person that should have been on some sort of 24/7 surveillance. Now, in fairness to the French authorities, the one thing that you and I don't know is how many others are just like him that they have there that are also resource-driven. It literally boils down to how many boots on the ground you have that you can use to surveil.
Right.
And usually those are very limited. So then you're relying on technology so you can either monitor telephone calls or intercept emails or whatever it may take. But in reality, what you lack is human intelligence, human source coverage of that potential lone wolf, because lone wolves by themselves are not presenting themselves to a community to where they could be subject to a human penetration, an intelligence service inserting a source close to that person. And that's where the Achilles heel is. That's where, if you look at all these cases, where it usually breaks down. And that's the lack of having a human asset that you trust reporting on the behaviors of one individual.
And you just kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, the monetary resources are not there. The manpower resources are not there. The human intelligence resources are not there. And like you said, if it's a lone wolf, that person is probably very paranoid about their the number of people who they deal with and their inner circle. So it's going to be very, very tough to get somebody even close to them.
Absolutely. And that, as you look at all these cases, whether it be Fort Hood shooting or this case in France, they usually boil down to two factors. You have a lack of tactical analysis, the inability to connect the dots. We're all brilliant after the fact. You can look at this guy after the fact and say, oh, my goodness, well, why didn't the French, why wasn't the French in front of this? Well, probably due to a lack of tactical analysis. They lack that granular data to connect the dots. And then they lack, the other aspect is they lack that human intelligence to tell you exactly what he's up to. And then if you compound that problem with, let's say you have 25 or 50 individuals that fit under that umbrella, think of the amount of people that you need just to surveil that many of targets. In a country like France, where you can get on a train and travel to another country today, and then try to work with three or four different foreign intelligence services to surveil one suspect, that in essence turns into what you and I would call a three-ring circus.
And the technology, you know, everybody thinks right now, and I think we need to kind of maybe give the dispel the whole myth of technology. And technology is great, but technology can only do so much. I mean, people think now we've got these drones. We can do surveillance from the skies. We can tap their phones. We can do this, that, and the other. But really, a lone wolf person, a lot of times they may have, you know, shut themselves off from a lot of technology as well. They may not be on the computer as much. They may not be talking on the phone. I mean, they have studied the tradecraft of terrorism that says, hey, listen, I need to isolate myself so that I can't be penetrated.
That's right. And then they've traveled to training facilities, whether they be in Pakistan or Afghanistan, and they've learned the importance of operational security, of minimizing their email, minimizing their contact, being cognizant of the possibility of having your cell phone conversations intercepted. So they've learned those kind of skill sets. And if you think of it in context to some of our assassins here in the United States over the years, or those individuals that unilaterally act on their own, that may be driven by either hidden demons being psychologically impaired or possibly working with some entity of a foreign interest. Take, for example, Sirhan Sirhan, who a lot of people fail to recognize was motivated predominantly because of his interest in Palestinian rights.
Right.
So you have an individual like Sirhan Sirhan who shoots and kills Robert F. Kennedy. People view him as a mentally disturbed lone wolf, but in essence, he was driven by a political motivation. And so you have those kinds of people that are very, very difficult to find beforehand. But once they strike, it's clear as a bell that this person fit that kind of profile. So
And the thing is, Fred, a lot of times people will ask, you know, they'll start talking to neighbors and they'll start talking to coworkers. And, you know, and it's, I guess, a troubling thing, or, you know, sometimes people always get surprised. Well, oh, he was a nice guy. He was quiet, but he was a nice guy. I mean, you know, it's never, ever that this person showed that they were. I mean, sometimes they do, you know, show that kind of demonic side. But a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, I never had any problems with them, and things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I think, you know, after the fact, in all these cases, we're all brilliant. But the real challenge for, say, for example, the FBI in the continental United States is trying to identify these people ahead of time, operating under the parameters in the Department of Justice guidelines and the FBI guidelines on their ability to surveil and whatever they're allowed to do operating, you know, with that kind of framework. So
do you think there's a solution to this, or this is kind of one of those problems that is going to always kind of plague us because of what we just talked about?
I think for the most part, I know that local police in certain cities are thinking more about terrorism than others, for example, in New York or in Washington, D.C. But that's very, very dependent upon geography. The farther you move west from the East Coast, the less and less people are thinking of that from a law enforcement perspective. I talk to a lot of cops every day. I work with a lot of cops every day here. And in essence, at times, that's the last thing that's on their mind. But if you go to a city like New York, they're predisposed to think of that as they're responding to a call. The farther you move away from the East Coast, the less and less police are thinking of that. And if you talk to some local cops and you ask them this, I tend to try to do this anytime I see a uniformed police officer, and I'll ask them, just introduce myself and talk to them about what they know about their geography. And at times it's surprising to me how little they know. So I think we still have a long way to go when it comes to that.
We're talking to the Vice President of Intelligence for Stratfor, Fred Burton. We're going to go and talk about the cartels and the relationships with terrorism on the next segment. So you want to stay tuned for that. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Here's Horace Blackman, Director of IT Services of Department of Veterans Affairs, on a recent Unified Communications panel discussion sponsored by General Dynamics IT.
There are a number of things we're looking to do to leverage the UC environment. Some of it includes things such as delivery of clinical care. We are certainly, the extent to which we want to enhance the degree to which we can foster collaboration is certainly there. And you, as everywhere else in the federal government these days, you always have to keep the perspective of trying to find cost savings wherever you can.
Connecting people to people anywhere, anytime, on any device. Not just an idea, but a demand of today's governments, businesses, and consumers. General Dynamics IT integrates voice, video, and data services to provide increased mission effectiveness. Secure communications is a basic tenet in healthcare, law enforcement, finance, and defense, and will continue to drive the future of our unified communications. Visit GDIT.com for more information. That's GDIT.com.
Closed in on smoking. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Lighting up has never seemed so uncool. Data shows that fewer and fewer middle and high school students are exposed to smoke on the road, but one in every five non-smoking youths is still exposed to secondhand smoke in the car. Dr. Brian King is with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
There's a variety of adverse health effects that are particularly associated with exposure, from acute respiratory infections to delayed lung growth, more severe asthma, as well as even in infants, sudden infant death syndrome.
New policies, new social norms, and new rules on smoking have helped to lower the number of those who smoke.
Parents can simply implement smoke-free policies in their homes and vehicles and not allow it, and not a smoke around their children.
The study is in the journal Pediatrics. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
I have this dream where I'm leading a group of people in developing groundbreaking solutions for environmental and energy issues. Every day, I'm helping to build this company from a startup into a major player. Before long, we're expanding into new markets, opening offices, getting media coverage. What am I saying? This is no dream. It's what I'm doing now, thanks to my MBA from Capital College.
The business world is driven by strong leaders. One of the best ways to raise your leadership skills to the highest level is through an MBA degree from Capital College. Our online program is focused on developing high-level leadership and management skills for both private and public sectors, with a thorough understanding of how to apply new technologies to solve real-world business problems.
My dream turned out even better in reality. Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
And now, Agency of the Month, Navy, brought to you by the CSC NGEN team.
Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy, Thomas Hicks.
What we're getting from our operational efforts is additional combat capability. We're able to have ships that are on task for a longer duration that don't have to go through underway replenishments as often. And that means that they're ready and available for tasking. On our shore side, it means that we are using less energy.
Hear the full interview on federalnewsradio.com. Search term Agency of the Month.
CSC stands ready to partner with the Department of Navy on Next Generation Enterprise Network to achieve a fully integrated naval networking environment. The world-class CSC team, including Harris, General Dynamics IT, and Verizon, has the experience to deliver innovative networking solutions that enhance performance, improve security, and cut costs to affordably meet evolving needs of sailors and Marines today and for years to come. Visit NGenReady.com for more information. That's NGenReady.com.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about kind of two T's today, travel and security with travel, and then also terrorism, things that happened in France. And now we're going to be talking about what's going on with some of the cartels and organized crime. And it seems that they're starting to build a lot more of a relationship with terrorism, or maybe it's always been there, but it seems to be exposed a lot more. We're talking to the vice president of intelligence for Stratfor. Stratfor is a geopolitical risk analysis and intelligence firm operating out of Texas, but they cover the whole world and a lot of different issues that's going on in the world. Fred was also the former deputy director at the State Department for the counterterrorism unit there. Fred, in terms of terrorism and now maybe organized crime and cartels, is the relationship building? Has the relationship always been there? Where is that going?
I think the relationship has always been there for specific kinds of groups. For example, if you look at Hezbollah, the Lebanese-based terrorist organization, they have historically always been in the criminal enterprise, from everything from stolen baby formula to cigarettes to stolen cars to running drugs. And we have a recent case unfolding here in South Texas involving a street gang with a relationship with the cartels called the Texas Syndicate, which are pretty much run every state prison in the state of Texas, nexus with Hezbollah in a huge money laundering operation of using certain kinds of establishments for laundering bulk cash over to Lebanon, using Swiss bank accounts and possibly even the Ivory Coast in West Africa. So you have this symbiotic relationship between some of these organizations like Hezbollah that recognizes there's a big money in running dope, but in essence, they're not carrying out this kind of criminal enterprise for the specific purposes of putting together a terrorist operation, but they're helping utilizing that kind of criminality for the proceeds to help fund the organization's global efforts.
Wow. And we were talking about this before the show started about how these operations go, because a lot of times with terrorist organizations or kind of rogue or whoever operations, you know, they need money. They need funding resources. So a lot of times they're working drugs and you know, they're working kidnappings. You know, as we see in Somalia, the, you know, the kidnappings, the taking of the ships, you know, they're drug running. They're doing a lot of different things, human trafficking. So these people are very much engaged in the criminality of things that's going on in the world. Is that right?
Yes. And then you have other kinds of crime as you look at some of the Mexican cartels, which to me is an emerging concern, such as the human trafficking and child prostitution, meaning you have all these sophisticated DEA drug HIDTA task forces, high-intensity drug trafficking task forces, focusing on violent crime. And yet, underneath that criminal umbrella, you have cartels that are very aggressive and moving into things such as child prostitution, human trafficking, and moving people in and out of the United States, because there's first less penalty if caught, and second, you have less law enforcement interest in the issue. You might have a vice and intelligence cop from the Phoenix Police Department or the Houston Police Department looking at that child prostitution ring, but people don't put it in the same kind of category as narcotics trafficking or moving weapons, stolen weapons from the United States into Mexico. But it's all under that criminality. So it's really the kind of crime that you literally can get away with because there's not a lot of attention being paid to it.
So really what you're saying is because it's almost deemed at a low level, nobody's walking it back up to walking it back up to a cartel and then walking it back up to Hezbollah or some other terrorist organization. Nobody's taking the time to walk this thing all the way back to them.
That's right. And you have a very disparate response with multiple different agencies engaged in these kinds of cases. You might have, a local police department that doesn't recognize that human trafficking or that child prostitution ring is tied into a global human smuggling ring of Chinese girls that are coming into this network. And in essence, as I was talking to some recent federal agents on this issue, there's more money at times to be made moving people and children into the United States than drugs, and less scrutiny because you have these huge entities now that are looking at drugs, but they're not looking at the other breakaway kind of criminality that's taking place.
And you really only have maybe a couple agencies, like you said, I mean, who are looking at the human trafficking dynamic, and that's a whole different underworld. So I mean, sometimes it combines itself. And do you think that that's going to become more and more of a problem, kind of this, human trafficking, sex trafficking of children and women? Is that going to continue to increase?
Well, I think it's one of these issues that there's huge intelligence gaps on the sheer scope. I know, based on some of our research and study here, that it's a larger phenomena than anybody's got their hands around. For example, one of the comments back on an analyst that had done some collection on this point to us that provided a briefing to us here was that you have these houses of prostitution where in pretty much every major city where you can go into and say, well, I would like someone a little bit younger if you're a male looking, and they'll bring a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl out that has been caught up into this network. And it's like the people that get arrested are the people that are in this human trafficking network that the crime boss, which in a lot of cases are Mexican cartels, are controlling this person. And if you don't do what they want you to do, then they say, we're going to extract some retribution on your family that might be left back into Mexico. And there's one thing for sure when you're dealing with the Mexican cartels, they're certainly not afraid of killing people.
Fred, I think, and we got to end it at this note, but I think you just kind of hit the key point that people need to start caring. They need to, not just caring about what's happening in their own backyard, but they need to realize that these issues have an impact on all of us at some point in time.
Without a doubt.
Thank you, Fred. We'll have to catch up with you soon again to find out what's going on. You always kind of keep us abreast of what's going on in the world. Thank you so much. We've been talking to Fred Burton. He's the Vice President of Intelligence for Stratfor. You can find him at stratfor.com. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.